And then we're going to read first verse of Proverbs. A wise person in your life, and what made them wise to you?
You know, my son has to be tossed away. Because I think I've talked to him, you know, I haven't talked to him in a while, but when I did, you know, you can really see God just by looking at that man. You can really just, you can feel the warmth, you can feel the love. And like, I don't, you know, I haven't had that many, you know, adult male figures in my life that show that. And then, you know, when you guys came over, DCA was shutting down, like, you know, just listening to his talk and the vision he had, like, it just really is about. He doesn't think short term, he thinks long term. And, you know, my whole life I just thought the short term, you know, not thinking about the long run and just seeing how, you know, we went from that building right there and we have our own. We have our own space. We have places we can grow. And he's just like on top of the ball. Like, I mean, what's next? And yeah, he really like inspired me to not think short term. You know, just looking at him, I'm like, no, I need to get it together. Because you never know what's gonna happen next. But my person who has gotten me through some stuff, even if we had that conversation, just listen to that man, like,
okay. How about you, Elder? That's awesome. Man.
I don't even want to try to top that. I don't want to say it. I was fortunate that I had very wise, Christ-centered people in my life when I was young. But one of them would have been my stepmother. And she was a no-nonsense kind of person. Very cultured, not degreed, but educated, but faithful to God. And you did not fully recognize all of that, like I said, until I was a little more mature. You can look back on the life that she lived and the things that she did. And she would, let me just take this picture. She worked every day. And she worked in Philadelphia at the labor room. So then she would get up at 3:30 in the morning, we did in Delaware, and travel to go to work, come home from work. And her faithfulness in her life. Now I can look back and see the importance of what she was telling me about setting up things that work and being consistent and recognizing what needed to be done and taking care of your business and handling your family and taking care of yourself. She didn't preach it, she teach it, and then she just lived it. And so I can tell you everything she said she lived in. So I had a role model, even looking back, that taught me about the Proverbs 31 woman and the things of Proverbs in it. And she didn't always say it, but she showed it.
Yeah. You know, for me, it would be my stepfather. You know, and as a young man, I didn't recognize the wisdom of him. You know. He was one who didn't force you to do nothing. He just shared his wisdom with you and allowed you to make the choices, you know. And I appreciate it so, so much because those are some of the things that I was able to reflect on in my time where God made me be still, you know, because I used to murmur and complain about not having my father in my life. And God shared with me. Many men in my life, good and bad, you know, and my stepfather was one of those men. He is one of those men, you know, who gave me so much wisdom, you know, and still giving me wisdom to this day. He just turned 80 the other day, so shout out to you, you know, Big Howard, you know, and that was a man of wisdom as well as Dr. Wayne. comes to a spiritual man, because I never had a spiritual man in my life, you know, and he was the first one as my pastor who I came in contact with, you know, and it continues on. So can you read, Elder? Read 1-6. So we're going to Proverbs chapter 1, verse 1-6.
I'm actually reading out of the New King James Study Bible, Study Word Bible. And I'm just reminded that the Lord let me bring this to light. Because 1-6 is summarized as a wise man will hear. So it's about hearing wisdom. And it says, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. Did things wrong, David did things wrong, but God's spirit still dwelt with them in the times that they would listen to the spirit moving them. So it was important that, which we don't often do, recognize that despite how, you know, we feel about our parents and the neighbor or the teacher, or they get it right, they didn't do this right, that the Lord will give us wisdom when we listen to him, which is what Solomon and David did. Listen to him, and when we obey him. But we don't really recognize that because we're looking at how the man does in the flesh. So we don't hear the wisdom that's coming from him. Okay, all right. All right, so.
Can I touch on something? Look, we're going to spend time in Proverbs. So please bear with us, and we pray that you understand what we want to give, because we're getting something out of it too. We pray you get what we're trying to give as well. So here it says, the key word in Proverbs is wisdom. It says the ability to live skillfully, a godly life in an ungodly world. However, is no simple assignment. Proverbs provides God's detailed instruction for his people to deal successfully with the practical affairs of everyday life. So, go ahead, continue on.
Second verse, this is Proverbs, we're still in Proverbs chapter 1, on the second verse now. It says, to know wisdom and, which is really important, instruction to receive the words of understanding. to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtly to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. I'm in verse 5 now. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. Verse 6 says, to understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark saying. So I just set this up a little bit before we delve into it. This is broken down in my Bible. It talks about the instruction. And the term principally means to leave or leave behind ignorance. To abandon what is in error and to follow what is, we term the straight path. The Greek terminology for some of the words that we're reading, American English doesn't do justice, so sometimes we have to break it down based on what the original writing of the word. So, in my Bible, it talks about the word of instruction. It also talks about the term principally, which means to leave alone, or leave behind, leave free, abandon, or forsake. And so what they're saying is, when you get wisdom, you leave behind ignorance, pain, and problems. That's how that breaks down. You leave behind the things that cause the problem, and you're moving into freedom. I know that's hard to tie together when we read that, but that in essence is what this book of Proverbs is all about. Leaving behind what is not good, moving towards what God has ordained and is good for you.
You know, I was speaking to someone today, and they were talking about how rough the day was. You know, and I said, if you continue to speak about how rough the day is, it's not going to get better. I said, the day is just starting. So start speaking, it's better, it's getting better, and continue to believe and work in that better part of it. You know, because if we stay in that destructive part, we're going to continue to build. And that's why I say it's so important for us to mind our tongue. We got to be careful what we say out our mouth, because we speak things into existence, not saying it's not a reality, that it's not happening, but we stay in it. And we compound it by speaking on it and speaking how bad it's making us feel and how we're not going to get out of it and our time and all this other stuff, instead of just walking it out and doing the things necessary to change the situation.
That kind of takes me back to our beginning of our conversation that you were offering about the young person you were talking to who only spoke the negativity and liked speaking it. And we recognize that you only speak what you know. No one ever shares the wisdom of the difference. You never hear or never sense or never follow a different way. You're only going to do what you know. And so her negativity is part of what she learned to be. I gotta share this before you go. I'm not trying to not like
it. I got a question for her too.
On my way here, I was listening to the radio. I listened to Urban Review. That's not a commercial for you, Urban Review, but it was important. And the show host was interviewing, I would have never known unless I was listening to the show, Redman. Y'all know Redman? The artist, you know, originally the artist, he's a rapper.
He's a rapper.
Which I didn't know that. Okay, he's a rapper. So he was talking. His name is Reginald something. I can't remember his name.
Lewis.
So she was interviewing him because he did something very profound. He's a young man, probably 20s, early 30s. Not that old. He's older than that? Oh, see how much I know that.
He's in his 40s.
Okay, that's still younger than me. That's younger than me. But anyway. So he's been rapping for a while, from what I understood. Well, what he shared was that the host introduced him by explaining why he was there. And he had begun a fast. He fasted for 2.5 years from smoking marijuana and from having sex. So that's how they opened the conversation up going on when they start talking. And he said something that blew my mind when it comes to the struggles that we face and getting the wisdom to do this. What he said was, it was the best thing I could have ever done in my life. He said, because, and she said, well, why did you say that? Well, what was so good about that? Because you denied yourself? He said, no, not just because I denied myself, but because it gave me an opportunity to get clear in my head so that I could receive the wisdom that God was preparing. And so when I got here today, I was like, oh my God, Lord, you really want me to tell him that? It really, he said, it cleared up my head. I started to think right, see the way God wanted me to be, to do, to lead things, and it helped me to separate myself from those who were walking with me the way that I was going. He didn't have no marijuana and no sex for 2 years, he said. And I'm not saying he's done anything now, but that's the time frame.
You know, it's funny you say that. It goes back to those distractions. Me and Pastor Bruce were talking about those things. Those distractions keep us from focusing on the wisdom of God. And sometimes we think it's so little. And I was sharing with my students, my mentorship students yesterday, because we're talking about Proverbs as well. And we were talking about those distractions. And all the enemy wants to do is just make you think what you're doing is not much. And if you keep doing not much, instead of going straight, you find yourself going in the opposite direction. You know, away from where you wanted to go, but you don't even realize how far away from your purpose you got because you've just been nudged just suddenly. You know, and I wanted to ask you this question because we're talking about wisdom, and that person spoke to you today about that negativity. And my question in your wisdom, because sometimes we think we have to have a certain title to speak wisdom into people's lives, but God gives us wisdom to speak to everybody. You know, you are a mother, you speak wisdom to your son. You know, so my question to you, when that young lady spoke that to you, what did you say to her?
Well, I'm going to read this quote because I told her this quote myself. I said, what you're not changing, you're choosing.
Wow.
And you know what's crazy? As soon as I got home Wednesday, after last Wednesday, that quote came up. And I talked to her about it. I was like, you know, you choose to stay in the toxic. I said, I said, it is doing you no good. It's not getting you anywhere. And you're just going to be sitting, stopping, moaning, all that, depressed. I said, why not step up? I said, because, you know, I could sit here all day and moan and cry about what's wrong with my life. But I got up this morning. I ate breakfast. I'm at work. You know, I'm alive. I was like, so why do you say that? She was like, well, I kind of just enjoy it. I said, but who would really enjoy all that toxic? I said, what you're putting out there, what you're attracting?
Yes, that's powerful.
I said, why would you want to attract all that toxic in your life? Because it's just not good. She was like, well, I just don't know. And I'm like, you gotta switch that up. I said, I know it's not gonna take overnight, but like, take that first step and just get yourself out of that funk. I said, you're thinking, like, you want to be with this person, but if you know the outcome of that relationship, why put yourself through it? I said, well, you can find a different outlet in your life. Like, I'm like, there's so many opportunities of stepping out of that toxic stuff. It's just not, you're sitting in this dark hole. Why not just?
So God sent you as a word of wisdom to her, who obviously had not, I don't think that she'd ever heard it, but maybe never listened. And God's timing is so perfect. that he would send you at a time where she dealt the most toxic, that you could explain or give her a few pearls to help her see this a different way. I want to read this to you. It really lines up. Talking about Solomon, this very first six verses of Proverbs, it's talking about Solomon and how we have to remember that Solomon himself held himself back from earthly pleasures, even though he had had all the riches. The word says that Solomon was the richest man ever. Ever. Can you imagine that? I mean, you know, there's some billionaires and almost trillionaires today. The word says that Solomon was the richest man ever. But Solomon, because of the wisdom he received, he was not ingrained in the things, additionally anyway, you fall off. Ingrained in the things, he was more concerned about living the way God would want him to live, doing the right thing. Well, that's because he gained the wisdom from his father, David, from other counsel, and when we read more Proverbs, we want to tell us about God's counsel, and from hearing the Holy Spirit.
So that first verse of scriptures speaks about the wisdom, the discipline, and the understanding of Proverbs. And as we all just spoke, we shared different experiences and different situations about that wisdom. You know, me and Pastor Bruce, we were talking earlier today, and we were talking about how so easily we forget about what God has already seen us through. And when troubles show up, we get stuck. We get stuck in that situation in the muck. We get stuck in the storm. Instead of tapping into the wisdom of God, the Spirit of God, to help us get through this situation the same way he helped us get through that previous situation. And we're in a time right now, and this is why I wanted to really dive into this portion, first dealing with our mind and our tongue, and then dealing with the wisdom of Proverbs and the wisdom of God and the Spirit of God. And so now we're going to go to verse 7. And I want you to read 7. I want you to read verse 7. Because, see, this verse here, people get this one mixed up. And we wanna speak on that. Go ahead.
Okay. The fear of the Lord is in the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction.
So yeah.
Oh, can I do the right one?
Oh, yeah, okay. Verse 7. So with that, what did you get from that? What did you get from that? Because, see, but this is what happens. Because when I first read that, I thought it was a fear of God. And so many people have that mindset. And that's why so many people are afraid to follow God, because it's a fear. Like, oh, if I do this, this is going to happen. And that's not what this verse is saying. And don't get me wrong. Is that what you got from it?
No, for me, it's more so, you know, fools despise wisdom and instruction. You know, they don't like hearing what they're doing wrong, or they don't want to hear that maybe you could change how you see things. You know, they rather hear themselves rather than, you know, get something from somebody else. You know, that's what I got from that.
What about that fear part? That's the part that I really want us to grab hold of. And once you share what you believe, and I want to hear from Elder, and then we'll talk more about it. I want to hear from the audience too, because I know we got some wisdom out there as well. Yeah.
Maybe the more just them just being, like, you know, as you say, like, just being fearful of, I don't know, my brain is really fragile on that one.
Okay. Erica, I love your honesty. Because that is exactly what happens to us as we're learning the word of God and learning to live it. There's times where this stuff just baffles us for a few minutes. So I appreciate your honesty. And I know somebody out there does as well. So I'm going to add a little information to help that piece, because a lot of people think the word fear in 90% of the Bible does not mean to be scared of something, particularly in reference to the any of the words when you're talking about the Lord. The word fear in the Greek means reverence, meaning you highly respect, you recognize the authority, you appreciate God. Not you're not afraid of him, but like we do where, okay, like our parents, let's put it in that view. Even if we don't like what our parents say, most of us respect our parents enough not to say or do certain things in front of them or around them, right? And that's what that word is referring to. We reverence them enough that we respect them not to do or say, or in this case, we talk about Proverbs, to listen to what our parents might be saying, in this case, the Lord, is saying and doing something. Okay, so it's not just hearing, it is doing as well. So that's what the word fear means. So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So that just adds to what I just said. You reverence your parents enough that when they tell you something, they're teaching you how to do something, and then you do it, right? Same principle with God. You respect him enough that when you hear him tell you to do something, or he sends somebody godly to teach you, that even if you don't do it right away, most of the time we don't, okay? But that we will do what he says because it brings us knowledge, or we know something different now. Like what you're talking about, young lady. You came to her and gave wisdom. You imparted wisdom to her. And now she has some knowledge about, maybe not enough for her to be completely turned in a second, but enough for her to think about how to proceed forward. That makes sense? Okay. That's reasonable.
Yeah. Verse 7. This verse 7 bounces back up to verse 5. It says, the wise man will hear and will increase the learning. So this fear, as Albert mentioned it, in the Greek, means to reverence. When you reverence God, it opens you up to hear his instruction, and then you obtain knowledge. See, God can impart something into you when you're afraid of him. Because now you're in the enemy's camp, because fear has captured your emotions, your mind. But the word fear is reverence. When you reverence something, humble yourself before the throne of God, and now you're open spiritually as well as emotionally to receive instruction. See, wisdom always comes instruction. And God's trying to instruct you to another level of thinking, another level of maturity, another level of being in his presence. See, so this fear is a humility, a humbleness. It's also an honor.
I shared with my mentor group about that today, and they had that same mindset, that fear. And I said, think about this. I said, are there some things you do outside of your parents' presence that you wouldn't do in their presence? You know, and every single one of them said yes. And I said, why? And they said, it's a respect that I have for my parents. That, and I don't want them to see me in this light. And I said, that's the same thing for God. You know, and it's a reverence, it's a respect, it's an understanding, because you know they taught you better than that. They gave you more wisdom than that, and you know what you're doing is not the character that they brought you up in.
I thought I had a little something else to that. Oh, Lord, this is darling. You have children right here. Think about our children when they were little kids. I'm talking today. 6 months to a year. I have to say 6 months because that's when they really are starting to do some independent things, right? At 6 months to a year, you can say something to your child or look at your child and go, Orasan. You can, and after a couple of times, you can look, you can say, no, don't do that. And a lot of times they won't. Yeah, they might try it sometimes. Okay? But a lot of times they won't. Why am I saying that? Because it does not take us all our lives to go through things to learn that what God is saying to us is something we should do, because it's already in us. The word says that we were wonderfully and fearfully made, created in his image. What that means is the propensity to want to love and do what God says is in us. But because we're in the world and sin's here, there is something that keeps trying to come against that. So we may not respond as quickly as we could if we were fully engaged in what God was saying, like a little child who's not paying attention to the parents. That makes sense.
No, just to tap on that. And that's why distractions are so important, that we be mindful of those, because with the distractions, we can't be focused.
You probably shouldn't read that later, but Pastor Bruce came up and talked about the word fear. We all talk about the fear. This word says the fear of God. We're not talking about being scared. But most people see that word for just that, being scared. So there is a very physiological thing that takes place in us when we're afraid, apprehensive, full of anxiety, that will prevent us from getting the knowledge and the wisdom God is important to us, and I'm going to share this with you. It's a proven fact that our brains have different parts. So in training, we're going to talk about the upstairs brain and the lower downstairs brain. Okay? And the downstairs brain is where we feel everything. So when we're fearful and we're scared, the downstairs brain will shut off us being able to connect with upstairs brain, which is to our knowledge, our understanding, and our wisdom. Why am I saying that? Because when we don't reverence God and we do fear him like we do our parents, we don't really obtain their wisdom because the brain can't connect to it. Am I making sense to you? This is not only spiritual, it is physical as well. That's how great God created the body.
You know, you say that, we talk about the acronym of fear. Fear freezes every available resource. Fear freezes every available resource.
You really know, does.
And that's why it's so important that, see, God don't want you to fear.
No.
He don't want you to fear. It's a reverence. It's a love of understanding of him. You know, I think about when I went through this process that I went through as a young man, there was a fear that what I'd done, it was beyond reproach, and there was no relationship, no way I can get back from it. And I had that because of what the world said and how the world condemned me, until I began to get to know God and what God said about me. You know, and it gave me a different understanding, a reverence, and a love, and a desire to know more. And I think this is something, and because we don't have an understanding of what that fear is, like you said, it was, you didn't have an answer. And there's so many people who open this book and read this portion of Proverbs because fear is in the mind of the dweller. And they have that same mindset when they hear it.
What the natural word fear does, it does freeze us as every available resources. And what those, when it freezes those every available resources, what it does, it causes you to revert back to what's already damaging. So now you're concentrating on what's already damaging you, and now you can't receive instruction. So that's why it was so powerful, and I was so elated when you told them that you had a choice. So it says here, and we do that. When we always talk about our brokenness or what's wrong, we're not making the right choice. We're reinforcing our fear, our natural fear. And so what you said to her, that was probably the first time she was hearing and not just listening. Because it says here, to give stability to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and instruction. And it said a wise man will hear. The hear is when you receive it and act on it. Most people are just listening to wisdom, but they don't hear the instructions of wisdom. And that's the important part. When you hear, see, the testimony about Gregory, he had to stop putting things in him that caused him not to hear. And see, when his fast was the very thing that stopped him from hearing the instructions that what God was telling him to do. Now, he didn't say he studied the word of God or the Bible. But he didn't have a clearer hearing because he stopped putting stuff in him that caused him to resort back to his brokenness.
Let me say this thing. I'm glad Pastor Cruz is
back. Let me finish. And those are the two main things that culture thrives on, sex and drugs. Those are the things that keep you in the environment of the divine.
So at the end, he did say, let me say this, that Pastor Bruce, thank you so much, because as he was concluding his information, what he said was, I am so grateful that I listened to God, and I now have a much clearer and stronger relationship with the Lord. I was like, wow, that's what made me, I have to tell the story today, because he did. He really. And this is somebody that, somebody who he was a party man. From what I understand. But he gave all recognition and glory to God. But that can only come after you learn to reverence God. And that can only come, reverencing can only come, as Pastor Bruce said, after you get some clarity, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding.
So we can really tap into those things that Pastor Bruce was just talking about with those distractions, And in verse 8 through 19, he talks about the warning against ungodly influences. So, Erica, can you start reading verse 8? Through 19. We got 5 minutes, but we're just gonna read this scripture and then we're gonna get back into this next week. Like, we're gonna continue on in this area.
Okay. My son, hear the instructions of your father and not forsake the law of your mother. Keep going. Okay. For they will be grateful ornaments on your head and chains about your neck. My son, is sinners? Entice you. Do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie and wait to shed blood. Let us lurk secretly for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive like. What is that?
Sheol, and the whole, like those who go down in the pit. We shall find all kinds of precious possessions. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in your lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, do not walk in the ways of them. Keep your foot from their path, for their feet run to evil, and they shall obey, and they make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. But they lie in wait for their own blood. They lurk secretly for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone who is greedy for grain, for gain. It takes away the life of its owners.
You know, that is so powerful. And we're going to really delve into this next week. But I just want to touch on something that me and Pastor Book shared with me. And many of you might have heard about this here, about the young man, the athlete in Philadelphia, he just brought it to my attention, he just found out that he was the highest scorer in SATs in his school. Not only was he an athlete basketball player who was very good, he was smart. And some young men, he was coming out of his house with his mother, and they killed him. They killed him. And we don't know the reason why, but this scripture right here speaks just of that same situation. And this is what we're facing in society today. And this is why we need the wisdom of God on our lives. Because I don't know what the young man might have done or didn't do. You know, but the reaction from those whoever did that to him was not the spirit of God. That was ungodly influence.
The testimony from his peers. That testimony about his mental state of his SAT and his physical state of being a star basketball player. It can be very jealous, revenge attitude. I don't know what it is, but just the fact that the testimony of who he was when he was living, on his way to school, to be ambushed early in the morning with his mother on the way to school, is what we're talking about. How that sinners lie and wait to shed blood. You know, I don't know if he did something to somebody, but the attention on what his greatness was can be a jealous distraction to someone else. If a young man lost, there was a great influence. But one of the testimonies from one of his classmates was, when he came in the room, everybody watched him. One LA said, you can feel a certain presence when he was in the room. This is an anointing. This is the anointing of God on this young man's life. But, you know, like I was telling Pastor Ray, this young culture has been distracted by all the cares, the deceitful riches of the world, has caused them to miss out on the wisdom of God. They're distracted and great deal. The makeup, the jewelry, the clothes, the stuff, all that stuff has distracted them to want more. They search for gain, more gain, they swell up for gain. Wow, that's the body.
If I may, before you close, Pastor Rob, I'm going to 2 Timothy 3, and I'm just going to read just probably 2 verses. This is talking about the perilous times that we're living in now. This is in the Bible, but the times are happening right now. men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. 3 says, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, which means they don't have self-discipline, fierce, despisers of those that are good. So in reference to this very young man, we don't know the circumstances, and we're not here to analyze that. But based on the anointing upon his life, there was good in him. And if they had been godly good, some things only come by God. I don't hear what else to say. Only God can do these things. And so we're living in a world today where people will be envious just because you have God with you. We have to know that. That's the word of wisdom for you.
And that's why as we close here today, we're gonna continue in this light of the dangers of peer pressure, greed, and quick gain. You know, because this is something so many about young people and old people are dealing with the pressure of the world. And we wanna share some godly wisdom on how to overcome those desires and to chase after those things, because God has so much in store for each and every one of us that He knows what we need, He knows what we desire, but we have to follow Him and not follow the things of this world. And so we're going to continue on in Proverbs and move forward in this here. I'm excited about this here. We invite you to be a part of it here on Wednesdays and on Sundays. Come at 6 o'clock on Wednesdays, Sundays at 10:30 here for service. Please be a part of what we're doing here at Harvest. We love to have you. And please spend time in God's Word. That's most important. Even if it's not, you spend time in His Word. Seek His wisdom. Seek some spiritual enlightenment to find out where He's calling you to go. With that, I'm going to ask any of our guests if you have some last words you want to share with our guest, with everyone, and we'll move on.
I don't
All right.
I just want to say to everyone, this is the season, this is the time in our lives that if we didn't know, God wants to give it to you. He wants to show it to you. He wants to teach it to you. He wants to embed it in you so that you're empowered to live great lives. Come on in on Wednesday night. We really have a great time here. Only 1 hour, 6 to 7. 10:30 on Sunday morning, where you really hear the Word of God and the Spirit of God is moving. God bless you all.
And with that, I'm going to say, as Pastor Bruce shared earlier, it's better to hear so you can apply it. Don't just listen. But we pray that you heard everything that we shared here today and you begin to apply it in your life. I thank God I had people to speak into my life that I was able to hear. And when I was mature enough to apply it, I had something to apply. Amen. So God bless you. We love you. And have a blessed night.